time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up on this Wednesday, June 15th. Caleb Johnson in with my co-host Joe Patrick. Joe, how's it going?
Braves still taking no L's. The Braves cannot lose a game, even if they tried, it seems like. They just win. If you look at the baseball reference on their, if you look at the team page for this year, you know, this season, you'll see like the wins and losses, and it's like a green and a red. And then all of a sudden it's just this explosion of green. And not only are they winning, but they're winning these games by large margins. It's kind of funny to look at, but we'll take it, right? I mean, they haven't lost a game for like two consecutive podcasts that we've done. It's almost, we're verging on unprecedented territory here.
The entire month of June, Joe, the Braves have not lost.
It was Snit's motivational speaking, wasn't it, Caleb?
His rah-rah speech, don't you know? Yeah, I mean, don't we all take Brian Snicker as the guy to come in and stand on a chair and you know, say, come together, man. I've got something to tell you.
Now, what I like to envision happened was Snit was like, all right, everybody, just chill out. And they were like, okay. And he was like, all right, good talk. Get out there and play it today.
Yeah. Well, that's because go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, Snit keeps on saying, you know, you never know what's going to be that big win that turns you around. And when they're going through this streak like they were at the beginning of the season where they couldn't get any sort of streak together, that was, you know, the thing that we've joked about on this podcast. Like, is that going to be the game that gets the win streak going? And what was it? Was it that last game of the Arizona Diamondbacks series that they won before they headed to Colorado? Yeah. That was it. That was the one that got their juices flowing.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to look back and see who it was. It was, you know, either Schultz or David O'Brien who wrote about the big speech that Brian Snicker apparently made. And apparently it's one of those, my understanding was, didn't want to do it, was not trying to do this sort of thing. But just apparently that Arizona game they lost in extras just caused Snit to not be able to sleep, and he just needed to, you know, voice some words of wisdom, I guess, to the team. that is one of those things, like it's a folktale, like it'll be looked back on depending on how the season goes as like, you know, now it won't be a game. There won't be, well, this is the game that turned it around. It'll be, this was the speech that turned it around, whether it actually did or not. There's a lot of factors, obviously, to what happened. You know, the Braves finally figuring some things out amongst themselves. I know whether it's, you know, it brought Michael Harris in to spark things up. Things weren't necessarily going very well for him at the beginning. Kid's already switching his hands. You know, just doing whatever he needs to do. He's seeing off speed so much better than he was before. Now he's hitting for power. Yeah. It's like, okay. You know, I the broadcast talked about it so much last night of what you're getting from the 7, 8, 9 now is,
oh, it's totally different. Wild. You know, it's like the bottom of their lineup right now is reminiscent of, you know, what the bottom of this lineup has been the last few years when they've been one of the most potent offensive teams in baseball. And that's what really makes the difference, because when you look around the league, every team is driven by their 1, 2, 3, 4 hitters. But it's what those guys in the bottom of the order do that separate the great offensive teams that can keep the line moving and keep that lineup turning over versus the teams that don't have those kinds of players. And, you know, it's funny because in the past it's been guys like Dansby Swanson who's been hitting down the order. But, you know, obviously he's been moved up. He's been hitting a lot in the two hole. And we've seen other guys just, you know, fill in. The Braves have gotten great production out of the catching position. But I do want to just, like, you know, just go back to Michael Harris real quick. And it has been great over this past week to see his bat getting hotter, and I think that you just see him kind of grow in confidence with some of the things that he's doing at the plate now. But you know, I just think that the player that he is, the profile that he is as a player, really was perfect for what this team needed. And it's not like they needed some guy to come up and be some big slugger and, you know, be like kind of like an Austin Riley type when he came up. They really just needed somebody who was going to shore up that outfield defense, give them a little bit extra, you know, on the base paths and things, and just make contact with the ball and not be an automatic strikeout. I mean, I know we talked about this on our podcast last week, and we kind of compared him to Christian Pache and kind of determining why he is a better performer, maybe a better fit for this team than Pache was. But it's just fantastic to see him integrating into this lineup and into this squad, getting the playing time that he is. And, you know, certainly that's not going to go away because he's obviously proving that he's capable of playing at this level.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I talked about a couple of times on this podcast about the fact of Alex Anthopoulos kind of taking the tags off of some of the young talent. It's fun when he does that and it actually works out, because that yeah. obviously hasn't happened with everyone.
Yeah,
it feels like a lot of the, you know, it's more so been the pitchers that have been guys where Alex Anthopoulos is like, look, we got to do something. We got to have a spark. Somebody step up. And it hadn't happened. And so I got a little concerned with, you know, with Michael Harris of like, yeah, the downside of bringing in a guy so young is you can absolutely ruin his career if it doesn't pan out immediately, because no one has any patience anymore. Mm-hmm. And so to see him have this ability, I don't, you know, he may not stay this hot, but you're seeing that it's there. You're seeing, you know, the beginning stages of what you want out of your center field position is now locked up. And we're just, it's one of those, like, we're like 2 weeks from coming on here and talking about, like, oh, man, this outfield is just
being down in the dumps.
Yeah, so weak. You know, you had a moment of you couldn't play Adam Duvall because he was that bad. And now the guy's just hitting home runs left and right. Like, okay, cool. That's shown up.
I think that these things kind of go together, because when you bring Michael Harris up, it gives you enough leeway with the lineup and what you can do constructing the roster, the lineup day to day, where you can give a guy like Adam Duvall a couple days off to get reset. And I really think that that is partially what helped him kind of get turned around, was just getting a break. And, you know, he was in that rut, but he was being forced to play every single day because the Braves just really didn't have anybody else in that outfield. So yeah, I mean, it's great to see what Adam Duvall has been doing. And, you know, we all know what he's capable of. We've seen him do it here. But we've also kind of seen the bad Adam Duvall here as well. And so it's great to see him kind of flip that switch here.
Well, and the big idea that I kind of take away from this is the fact that the Braves really didn't change much. Like, what has carried them through this 13 games has not been any magical, massive changes. It's just been guys playing like you expected them to play. It's so funny, too, because it's one of those things that I remember saying, you know, when the Braves were struggling so much at the beginning of the season, it was kind of like, look, the Braves don't have another magical run in them. You know, like this doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. What happened last year doesn't just happen. You don't just go and catch fire and then go win a World Series. You're not going to do that 2 years in a row. And now I'm starting to feel like people who doubt Tom Brady is like going to fall off a cliff, you know, or something. Like, I'm one of those, like, I mean, I don't think so, you know, like, cause it's one of those. Yeah. When you're two games away from reaching your franchise history record of, you know, 15 straight is the most the Braves have ever won in their franchise history. And that happened back in 2000. The fact that you're two games away from that, yeah, you're putting got Elias out here sending emails to media and tweeting about the fact of, like, hey, here's a new Braves record that's been, you know, broken. It's just one of those, like, that's wild. I just didn't think we would be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. I would say, though, that something we were saying and pretty much everybody was saying, which is pretty easy to analyze when you looked at the schedule, which was that if there was going to be a time that this was going to happen for the Braves, it was going to be now. Now, I don't think anybody would have anticipated they would go on a winning streak quite like this, but that's what had me worried, Caleb, when we were doing this podcast a couple weeks ago, and they had kind of started that easier stretch of the schedule, and it just was not happening at that point. You know, what was it? They played the Phillies, and then they split with the Phillies. They go on the road and drop two out of three. Was it they dropped two out of three against the Diamondbacks? I believe they did. Yeah, yeah, the Marlins as well. So they just like weren't really getting it going. But then, obviously, you know, when they went out to Colorado, the bats really came alive, and that's really been the thing. Like the bats on this team, this lineup just feels dangerous from top to bottom now. They've hit now back-to-back homers in three straight games, which hasn't been done in franchise history, I believe, or at least like since 1900 or something like that. Just like insane stuff, like you're saying, that they're just doing. Seems like every night they hit like five homers. It's just crazy.
Well, and I do want to add a caveat to what you were talking about, you know, looking at the record, because I have seen this where people are like, well, I mean, the Braves are beating the Rockies, the A's, the Pirates, now the Nationals. You know, these aren't the teams that they're really going to have to be competing with. Look, this is baseball. This is usually where, you know, you drop a game here or there. You lose a series that you shouldn't, you know, that you shouldn't lose. This had been happening previously. Also, the Mets, you know, they're having struggles with the Brewers, who we thought was a good team, but a team that the Brewers have all of a sudden been losing a bunch of games. Yeah. So it's one of those, like, winning games is winning games no matter how it comes, because, as you're saying, Joe, this was something that we'd seen easy parts of their schedule previously, and they weren't doing this. Yeah, they weren't having this kind of success.
The recipe for any team that wants to make the playoffs in baseball is to pretty much tread water against the teams that are, you know, on par with you, being at the tops of their divisions. Just kind of split with those teams, and then you just really got to beat up on the teams that are worse than you. And that's exactly what has separated the Braves from the rest of the NL East over the last 3 or 4 years, is they're the only team that's been able to really dominate their division opponents like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Braves are doing it well. But, you know, I thinking back also to I was fortunate enough to go on with Maria Martin on 11 Alive a couple weeks ago for her TV program. And, you know, we were talking about this as well when this was before the Braves really, you know, got off the ground here like they have these last couple weeks. And something that I said on there was that, you know, the Braves, they can't just start to play good against these teams. Like, they really have to be great during this stretch. And I couldn't have imagine that they were going to be this great. Like, it doesn't really get any better than this. Again, what they're doing right now is, you know, approaching historic levels.
Yeah, and I think it's also one of those things where they're finally having games where maybe not everything goes right, but, you know, two out of three, you know, I would say, you know, if you're looking at offense, starting pitching, relief pitching, you're getting two out of three on a nightly basis, because I was looking through, you know, what these relievers have been doing as of recent has been pretty impressive. Outside of, I think, Dylan Lee, who, you know, struggled a little bit in his relief appearance recently, guys aren't giving up runs. You're seeing, you know, you're seeing stat line.
Kenley got it through his little rough patch.
Yeah, you're seeing guys come in, you know, one inning, and run column, zero. And just, or if they do give up some run support, you know, you've just had some incredible starting pitching, or the Braves scoring enough runs. I mean, last night, perfect example of this is the fact that, yeah, Max Fried, not on his best, but it did not matter because the Braves scored 10 runs. And even, you know, Max Fried talked about the fact of, hey, nice to have an off night when your team scores 10 runs. You know, it's one of those.
Good
pick me up when that takes place.
And this team still has players who are going to come in and help them through the stretch of the season. You know, like, you talk about the bullpen, you think about a guy like Tyler Matzek, who's going to come back.
Colin McHugh,
Obviously dealing with COVID right now, but he's going to come back. You know, you've got Kirby Yates, who hasn't even played yet this season, but he's obviously going to return at some point. I mean, you got players who are going to help you that you don't even have to go trade for, but they're going to feel like trades.
Yeah. Well, and Mike Soroka, potentially another one on that list of guys who you're right. I said it last week and I'm continuing. I think the trade deadline for the Braves is going to be very quiet now. And I have to imagine Alex Anthopoulos breathing a sigh of relief of like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to pull a rabbit out of a hat. You know, just one of those like, because you know the expectations were going to be there if this team was still struggling when they reached, August 2nd, I think is when the trade deadline is. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those like, yeah, they're doing it with their own guys and they're going to get their own guys back to potentially make this team even better. You mentioned Kirby Yates. I don't know much about him, but every time I've heard someone in the Braves system talk about him, it's just like a little smirk of like, oh man, when we get that guy, you guys are going to see, you know, it's just one of those like, yeah, there's so much more to this team. And I just didn't think it 2 weeks ago. I didn't think it was going to matter. I thought if you continue to play this 500 ball, sure, it'll be exciting once you potentially get a Mike Soroka, you get, you know, Matzik back, you get all these pieces, but it's going to be too late. Well, it's not too late now. Mm-hmm.
Caleb, I want to go back to something also that you said just a second ago, which was that this Braves team, it doesn't feel like they have to have everything go right for them in a game to win it, that they can kind of, you know, just two out of three, you know, two out of three batters or something, then you're going to be successful. But let's go through this lineup really quick. I mean, Ronald Acuña Jr., a better player now than he was when you opened the season, just physically better. Dansby Swanson, we're going to talk about him more in just a second, but that guy has turned himself into one of the best shortstops in the game after being one of the worst at the plate to start the season. Remember, he was setting some, like, well, leading the league in strikeouts. Austin Riley has been pretty consistently good. He has gone through some stretches, some rough patches this year, but solid hitter that you feel dependable on. Matt Olson, I think, you know, you're seeing a different level to Matt Olson now that the weather's warming up and he's kind of gotten off of his traditional slower couple months that he's proven to have throughout the course of his career. He's starting to get going. Marcelo Zuna, we're starting to see flashes recently. You hope that continues. He's obviously probably been one of the most underperforming Braves hitters so far this season. And then you got the catching position. William Contreras, Travis d'Arnaud, both of those guys hitting really well. Adam Duvall, as we talked about earlier, turning himself around. Michael Harris, who we talked about as well. So you got all these pieces, and that's just, you know, when you have a lineup that's solid up and down, that allows you to get by with a night where Austin Riley has a golden sombrero, or, you know, you can have an off night and you still get picked up by your teammates. And that's something that, you know, this team, these guys individually have said for years now, which is just like, you know, picking up your teammate. And it really feels like they're able to do that now where they were not really as capable of doing that a month ago.
Well, and it also helps because less finger pointing happens when somebody else carries the team for the night, then winning cures all. And you go, oh yeah, well, I guess they did lose 10-4, and you know, oh, Austin Riley didn't hit, and oh, he hasn't really hit in the series. You don't notice it though, because won both of those games, and for instance, in Tuesday's game, they hit 5 home runs. You know, you've hit 14 home runs in this series in 2 games. That's insane.
that's wild.
That's good numbers. You know, so it's just one of those that. I feel like earlier in the season, we were so critical a lot of some of these, you know, individual guys not stepping up. And it was because no one was. Like, it was all bad all at the same time.
I think it was rightful criticism, to be honest. I mean, you know, they're a different team right now. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so you talked about Dansby Swanson. He's a guy right now. I want to start off our conversation maybe a little hot button way of saying, has Dansby Swanson now outpriced himself to come back to the Braves?
Yeah, I saw somebody floating, or I saw on Twitter, someone was floating around like that they think it might take $75 million or something to get him back. no way. He's going to be much more than that. I'm not now yeah. that having said that, I am not the guy who like accurately projects contracts, and there are some people out there who are really good at it.
Yeah, I don't know who are these people, because I've seen numbers floating around, and I'm like, how do people just off the top of your head go, yeah, he looks like a 4-year, $115 million, like. I'm like, right. What?
Yeah,
I just don't keep up with Spock Trek that close to know what's happening.
Yeah, I would just give a shout out to one of my buddies at Brent Blackwell. He's a hardcore Braves fan and really enjoys kind of getting into the number side of it in terms of the contracts and stuff. So he's a good follow for stuff like that. But I would just like to talk about how important Dansby has obviously become to this club, and obviously we know what he's doing after he's turned himself around at the plate this year, and that's a whole nother story. I mean, I'm looking right now at Fangraphs. He is number 12 overall in F4 so far this year in Major League Baseball. There looks to be one pitcher in there, so if you take out the pitchers, he would be 11th. He's the second best shortstop, only Xander Bogaerts is above him, and that includes, as we said, getting off to that rough start. So that's incredible. But I also think, Caleb, I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast before, but just his role now from a leadership standpoint, from being the clubhouse guy, that's super important, especially when you have kind of the vacuum of some of that with losing Freddie Freeman. I feel like re-signing Dansby is a must. Like, I feel like this club has to do that. And should do it, because he's proving himself to be one of the best shortstops available that you could possibly get. Like, I feel like anything else, you're going to downgrade at the position.
Well, it feels like the Braves had kind of positioned themselves to be able to pay Dansby if this happened. I mean, the way you've done some other deals feels like, okay, yeah, you've made money available that Dansby Swanson should be a guy that you could pay if he did this. And it was also, I mean, that's why I think they didn't try to make a deal before this year, because to this point, he was very much looking like a guy that they would be, you know, hey, sorry to see you leave, but hope you find something else to work with a new team. And started off this season, you know, leading the majors in strikeouts. It was just an all around, and that goes into his leadership. And that's one of those things is, I remember I did an appearance with Nick Cale, and Nick was asking me who was the leader on this team, and I said, I'd love for it to be Dansby, but it can't be, because you can't have a leader be the guy who is telling you, hey guys, we need to do this and we need to do that, and can't do it himself.
Right. Yeah, true.
And that's been Dansby Swanson so much of him early through the season, and then, you know, he got hot, he flipped a switch, it stayed. He's now breaking records at Nationals Park, where he's got five straight games of hitting a home run. It's the first time in their entire existence of that ballpark that's happened. It's another one of those, like, what a turnaround. I didn't see it coming.
To me, there are similarities with Austin Riley in the sense of, and how they've progressed as hitters, especially, where Dansby just seems like he's much quicker to break out of slumps now at this point in his career. Yeah. He's just, you know, learned enough, has gained enough experience at the plate where he's able to understand where things are going wrong and able to adjust. And that's, I think, a great, you know, quality to have, obviously. And then, you know, we only seem to talk about his defense when he like comes off a game where he makes a big play or something. But yeah, really, the guy has been super, super consistent defensively. That's what's always impressed me with Dansby the most. It's not necessarily some of the great plays he makes, which, you know, he definitely is capable of doing that kind of thing. But he's just so consistent. He doesn't make errors, which is just, you know, that kind of thing gets overlooked, especially at the shortstop position, because that is kind of where a lot of standout defenders play. But you just can't say enough about how he is just overall as a player at the plate, in the field, you know, runs the bases hard. He's been getting a little bit more aggressive there, trying to swipe some bags. And I mean, it's just all plaudits for Dansby right now.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say we only talk about his defense when he makes a mistake, because it feels like it kind of feels like what we do a lot of the times is one of those. It's just so automatic that it was like when Matt Olson was when Matt Olson was going through his deal at first base. You know, Braves fans had gotten so used to anything coming to first with Freddie, that's an out. Mm-hmm. And when that didn't happen, you know, so anytime Dansby messes up out in the field, especially if the bat wasn't along with it, you know, if the bat was struggling too, it's like, oh, come on. I mean, this guy at least played defense, you know. It's one of those to take on my best Mike Bell impression there. But, you know, it's just one of the, like, that's how we had treated him. So, yeah, it's really nice to see him kind of have this impact of what he's been able to carry so far. I hope it keeps up, obviously. If so, he's going to become a very wealthy man, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking, you know, in the $100 million figure for him getting, you know, a long contract. Just wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. And it all depends too on, you know, how impactful is he down the stretch, especially with the fact of, you know, Joe, one thing we've kind of been avoiding so far is the big news, Ozzie Albies. You know, he's gone until what, maybe the playoffs, if depending on how deep. Or more than likely, though, he could be gone for the rest of the season, and that feels like such a big loss, and yet I don't want to gloss over the fact, but also not as big of a deal as it could be.
Right.
It's such a strange position for this team to be in. I was talking to some guys out in sports radio in Portland about the fact of, you lost Ronald Acuna last season, and you just felt like the season was over. Like, it's just, there's no way. And then you watched what this team could do. And so I think we might take Ozzie Albies for granted, and, you know, and losing him is a big piece. But I think because we've watched this team lose a piece, someone who I would say is, you know, more impactful, and still go on to win, you kind of go, well, it'll be all right. It'll be okay, even though you are losing an all-star and just, you know, a consistent piece at second base.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, Ozzy, it's a broken foot. You can have many different types of, you know, foot fractures. He had it appears to be a pretty bad one that required surgery, which he apparently had successful surgery on today, as communicated by the club. But I think more telling about his kind of status is that he was placed on the 60-day IL. Some people were thinking that, you know, from a foot fracture, you can come back in 4 to 6 weeks. Clearly, that's not going to be the case with him. He's going to be out 8 weeks minimum. But to your point, we don't really know how long it's going to be for him. So you do have to plan longer term. But, you know, having said that, to your point, you know, the Braves have done a lot of this kind of without his, not without him, but just like without his typical offensive potency that we're used to seeing. I think that a lot of Braves fans were kind of salivating at the fact of this lineup getting going like it is with him starting to get going, like we've seen him perform. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's the silver lining, is the fact that you have been able to get this lineup going both individually through with guys on the squad and collectively, and he hasn't been, you know, the same Ozzie Albies that we've kind of grown accustomed to.
Yeah, when I did the interview this morning, I was thinking to myself, like, I feel so awkward saying the Braves will be all right, but the Braves will be all right.
I think so too.
You also factor in, you know, you're not just throwing some journeyman, some guy just brought up from Gwinnett to fill in that spot. You're bringing a guy who was playing shortstop for a Major League Baseball team 2 seasons ago, you know, in Orlando Arcia. It's not just nothing, you know, it's not nothing. It's one of those that if you had to lose a position, pretty ideal.
Yeah.
It's one of the, like, I feel icky. I feel gross saying that. Yeah. But it's just a facts. You know, it honestly is. It's one of those. You're right. It matters to how Ozzy had been hitting as of recent, especially with the way that Orlando Arcia is hitting already, you know, and kind of had been all season, even though he wasn't playing a whole lot. So it's just one of those. There's always going to be concern for me losing a guy of that magnitude, but I think the Braves are okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you never want to lose anybody to injury, right? But it is sports, things happen. And, you know, Ozzy has played a lot of baseball over these last, you know, really since the pandemic resumed. He's a guy who plays the game super hard. You know, got to be taxing on his body just to play the game the way he does. And he never is out. You know, like, how often? I can't even, like, recall games where he's just, like, getting a rest day.
I was about to say, I mean, he played next to Freddie, so...
Yeah, right, exactly.
Listen, Freddie's looking next to him like, hold up, you know.
Yeah, and last year in particular, I mean, I remember there was stats going around last year about how, you know, the Braves infield last year played, like, almost every possible game because they needed those guys to play because they were in such a scrap to make the playoffs for so long. So, you know, it's just kind of the way things have gone. And then to go through a whole... long playoffs, that really significantly cuts down on your off season, which is just less rest. And so I think that, you know, it's just a tough one for Ozzy. They just played a lot of baseball. But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are down on Arcia, just like his career numbers aren't, you know, they are what they are, which they're not great. But I don't know. There's something about him that I have confidence in this year. I mean, he's come in and played well in games this year. He's hit, you know, walk-off homer and done some things. I think he feels very comfortable here, like very much a part of the squad. So I'm excited to see what he can do, you know?
It's one of those, like, that I don't think you're losing a lot defensively because you're talking about a guy who played shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was used to covering a lot of ground or making up for it with his arm. I think that was something the broadcast talked about last night, is he doesn't have quite the range of Ozzy Albies, but he's got the arm, which so he can make up for it. But it's also one of those, like, yeah, I mean, if it's one of the, it there has to be a weak spot in the lineup, not the worst thing that it's right there, you know? You could handle that a lot better than you could in some of the other places that the Braves have been dealing with it, but you haven't reached that point yet. I mean, he hit a home run last night. You know, it's one of those, like, things have been okay.
And let's remember, the Braves won the World Series last year without Ronald Acuna, which is just to say that it's not like any injury in baseball is really going to be one that completely ruins your season. Baseball, that's just the nature of the game, where you have enough players who can make up for that lost production. So one player, unless it's like a Mike Trout or something on like a pretty weak Angels team, you know, like, there are other players that can help make up for that lost production. And I think the Braves have the kind of roster that can withstand this kind of injury, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
So that goes to the point. Do you think that, like, you know, in terms of a trade, like, I don't think the team needs to go out and try to rush to bring anybody in. If you get to the trade deadline, you know, and you observe the way that the team is trending and then you decide you want to maybe do something, then I would be okay with it. But I don't think the team needs to rush out to try to, like, fill this hole. I'm perfectly fine just kind of rolling with Arcia and seeing how it works out.
Yeah, I don't think Alex is going to look at this position as something that he feels the need to fill. Obviously, it's one of those keep his eyes open and see who gets moved, or, you know, because it's one of the, like, this is a short-term thing. You're for sure bringing Ozzy back next season and for the foreseeable future.
You don't want to block him.
Yeah. So there's no need to go getting in, you know, trying to bring in a big name or even a medium name for that matter. You know, it's one of those. And then anyone of lesser value, it's like, well, you have Arcia, so what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they claimed the guy from St. Louis. They claimed a second baseman off waivers literally last week. There was somebody.
Oh, that's right. The guy who looks like Thor.
Yes. Why can I not think of his name?
Yeah, what is his name? His name is Kramer. Kramer or something. I remember, I was just thinking, I don't trust anybody named Kramer.
It's killing me. Where is that?
Kramer. I've got the roster pulled up here. I'm just scrolling through. Anyway, his name is Kramer.
I was about to say, this is
Kramer Robertson. There you go. Okay. Now you know who he is.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So it's one of those, like, so they have Phil Gosselin, obviously, behind Arcia. That's for the immediate. If they felt the need to do something different, you know, like potentially there. I still think, you know, if you're gonna bolster anything, make any changes, you add outfield depth or you add to the bullpen.
My God, I'm looking at this roster and it's got birthdays.
Is he making you feel old?
Ozzy was born in 1997.
Uh-huh. That makes me feel old.
So was Austin Riley.
I'm actually older than that.
Yeah.
That's one of those.
You got nothing on me either.
That's when I started to feel old, is like when I see some of my favorite players and then, oh, I'm now older than them. That hadn't happened.
Michael Harris, 01, 2001.
Oh, we're now into the 2000s.
Yep, we are.
I mean, in fairness, he is the youngest player in baseball right now.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a little caveat to make ourselves feel a little bit better. But Joe, before we get out of here, we talked about the easy schedule that this Braves team is currently has been in and is part of this 13-game winning streak. It's not going to be the case.
Unfortunately, it doesn't last forever. Yeah. I wish it did.
it still goes on.
Yeah, you, yeah. Got you one go more to the Cubs. After this one. Yep.
Yeah, you go to the Cubs, and so maybe you can build that lead up. The thing that does concern me is, you know, what you're looking at. I think that the Mets schedule is significantly, at least for the moment, significantly easier than what the Braves have got to face after Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., Philly, and then later you get St. Louis.
St. Louis, who's been consistently good this year.
Yeah, yeah, well, just all teams that are going to be competing for a playoff spot.
Yep.
And I still stand by, I think you need to win the division.
Yeah,
felt that way last year. Once again, I feel like I'm, you know, right back in. You don't want to be fighting for a wild card spot, especially amongst you know, the National League West. You just don't want to be doing it. So a really tough schedule, but one of those that you just don't feel as bad about based on the winning streak.
Yeah, you know, the way I kind of see it is after the Chicago, like the Chicago series basically ends a certain segment of the schedule where that's kind of the end of what we've been talking about for a while, this kind of, you know, winnable stretch of games that the Braves have. Then, as you said, they play these West Coast teams. They host the Giants, the Dodgers. But then, you know, and you kind of cap those, but then you head into the All-Star game with two series against the Nationals sandwiching a series against the Mets. And those are going to be really big games as well for different reasons. Obviously, the series against the Mets, like we were talking about earlier, you just want to kind of be able to tread water, you know, if you can in those series. And then you beat up, hopefully, like the Braves have been doing against the Nationals. So these are going to be very important games, but I really just do see just a bit of a phase change in how we need to perceive this Braves season after the Cubs series that follows this current National series. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, they don't need to be winning every single game, and certainly they've already increased their odds to make the playoffs on Baseball Reference. They're up to 81% now, which has got to be the highest they've been maybe all year, honestly. So that's good. Obviously, it's just kind of an algorithmic thing. Doesn't really mean anything in and of itself, but gives you gives you some context as to where they are with relation to all the other teams vying for a spot.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they are a season best 9 games over .500. Like, that's part of it too. Yeah. Is you were dealing with a team who couldn't get to .500 yeah. or could not get over .500. So you know, it's one of those, like, now they are finally, you know, winning so many games and reaching this point of, yeah, I'm not surprised the playoff odds have increased and kind of hopefully continue to do so. Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it. Also, just one more thing to add on that. It's easier to make the playoffs this year because I think that they count also. That includes wild card spots, which, of course, is expanded. So,
very true.
Yeah, so there's also that. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that the playoff race, the NL East race. It's down to 5 games. So the Braves have cut that in half, which is great. Yeah. Great news.
Yeah. It's once again, it's just one of those things that I felt like I kept saying was like, you know, you're going to get to a point where you just can't turn things around.
Yeah.
And, well, they're showing me. So.
They did turn around. It's funny. Yeah. I feel like we haven't really had as much, like, hot topics to discuss this week, but it's just because everything's going so freaking awesome. It's like everything's just going smoothly. So let's
it's just like
it
thumbs
like
up, guys. You know, you're doing good.
Don't let us screw you up. Just
I feel like baseball mom over here, just, you know, clapping it up. Good guy. You know, good game.
Yep, exactly.
Well, hopefully we get to do it again next week. Thanks for everybody listening in. For my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Thanks for listening to Batter Up. We talked about the easy schedule that this Braves team is currently has been in and is part of this 13-game winning streak. It's not going to be the case.
Unfortunately, it doesn't last forever. I wish it did.
It still goes on.
Yeah,
You go to the Cubs, and so maybe you can build that lead up. The thing that does concern me is, you know, what you're looking at. I think that the Mets schedule is significantly, at least for the moment, significantly easier than what the Braves have got to face after Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Philly, and then later you get St. Louis,
who's been consistently good this year.
Yeah, well, just all teams that are going to be competing.
Yep.
For a playoff spot.
Yep.
And I still stand by. I think you need to win the division.
Yeah.
Felt that way last year. Once again, I feel like I'm, you know, right back in. You don't want to be fighting for a wild card spot, especially amongst you know, the National League West. You just don't want to be doing it. So a really tough schedule, but one of those that you just don't feel as bad about based on the winning streak.
Yeah, you know, the way I kind of see it is after the Chicago series basically ends a certain segment of the schedule where that's kind of the end of what we've been talking about for a while, this kind of, you know, winnable stretch of games that the Braves have. Then, as you said, they play these West Coast teams. They host the Giants, the Dodgers. But then, you know, and you kind of cap those, but then you head into the All-Star game with 2 series against the Nationals sandwiching a series against the Mets. And those are going to be really big games as well for different reasons. Obviously, the series against the Mets, like we were talking about earlier, you just want to kind of be able to tread water, you know, if you can in those series. And then you beat up, hopefully, like the Braves have been doing against the Nationals. So these are going to be very important games, but I really just do see just a bit of a phase change in how we need to perceive this Braves season after the Cubs series that follows this current National series. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, they don't need to be winning every single game, and certainly they've already increased their odds to make the playoffs on Baseball Reference. They're up to 81% now, which has got to be the highest they've been maybe all year, honestly. So that's good. Obviously, it's just kind of an algorithmic thing. Doesn't really mean anything in and of itself, but gives you a bit gives you some context as to where they are with relation to all the other teams vying for a spot.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They are a season best 9 games over 500. Like, that's part of it too. Yeah. Is you were dealing with a team who couldn't get to 500 or could not get over 500. So, you know, it's one of those, like, now they are finally, you know, winning so many games and reaching this point of, yeah, I'm not surprised the playoff odds have increased and kind of hopefully continue to do so. Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it. Also, just one more thing to add on that. It's easier to make the playoffs this year because I think that they count also. That includes wild card spots, which, of course, is expanded. So,
very true.
Yeah, so there's also that. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that the playoff race, the NL East race. It's down to 5 games. So the Braves have cut that in half, which is great. Great news.
Yeah. It's once again, it's just one of those things that I felt like I kept saying was like, you know, you're going to get to a point where you just can't turn things around.
Yeah.
And, well, they're showing me. So.
They did turn around. It's funny. Yeah. I feel like we haven't really had as much like hot topics to discuss this week, but it's just because everything's going so freaking awesome. It's like everything's just going smoothly. So let's
just
keep
like thumbs up, guys. You know, you're doing good.
Don't let us screw up. Just
I feel like baseball mom over here, just you know, clapping it up. Good guy. You know, good game.
Yep, exactly. But,
well, hopefully we get to do it again next week. Thanks for everybody listening in. For my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Thanks for listening to Batter Up.